Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Chris, or good afternoon.
Indeed.
Can you hear me okay, Chris? You sound
I can. You sound just a little bit far away, but I can get every word you're saying.
Okay. Hopefully this is better.
Okay. Yeah, that does sound a little better. All right. Our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice. I think the most important question facing humanity is the universe a friendly place? This is the first and most basic question all people must answer for themselves. Albert Einstein. Today, pay special attention to how you're guided and supported by a friendly life.
I can't wait to hear from people.
Yeah, that's great. All right. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Chris. This is Renee in Oregon.
Hey, Renee.
Hi. Yeah, this is good. The whole week of assignments.
Okay, Renee, there seems to be a little bit of background noise where you are. Are you, moving around or on speaker?
Is that better?
Much better. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, there is a little bit of background noise, but that's good then. So the whole week of assignments, you can still hear me?
Clearly.
Yeah, I can hear you.
The whole week of assignments has been good, and what I've noticed is most of the time when I'm practicing regularly or consistently during the day with recording and listening and meditating and bringing awareness to whatever's going on, I do notice a really big difference between the friendly universe of awareness and the unfriendly universe of conditioning.
Yes, it becomes so obvious it's so obvious when you state it that way, right, Renee? That if I am having my attention on awareness and I'm practicing being here, then the universe feels friendly here. But when I have my attention on that conditioned conversation, then it doesn't feel friendly because that conversation is not friendly.
Right, and it also focuses on everything negative or bad that conversation and the voice.
It's interesting. I mean, something that we were looking at on open air this week, right, that when we're present to how it is, and that can be very textured. It can be a feeling of joy, or it can be a feeling of interest, or just it's very textured, but it is what it is. And so there's nothing that we experience that's opposed to that, right? Whereas in the mind, it's always an opposition, a negation, something wrong, negative. Yeah.
Well, and just from what you said, I was just seeing how the experience, we don't really experience things, though, because the voice is just there telling us usually, you know, right. It's not in the moment. It's, you know, what's going to happen, what happened before to cause it, or the blame, or there's afterwards what's going to happen. So as I've been practicing lately more, since I've had more space in my day, which is very awesome, I can see the awareness inside versus outside more. Like, I never really, you know, a lot of times it would be like, oh, get in the moment, okay, I'm going to watch the trees, I'm going to feel my body, you know, that sort of thing. But I've really gotten in touch with the awareness of conditioning, you know, of what inside, the inside conversation, more than I ever have. And with that, there's just, it seems like instant relief from the suffering, more than I've ever really felt it before, which is awesome. Yeah.
So let me see if I'm tracking, Renee. Are you saying that when you experienced the suffering before, you would try to redirect your attention to watch the trees, and that would be almost like an effort? But what you are practicing right now, what's available to you right now with more and more practice given your spacious day, that there's that awareness is registering conditioning, and you, there's no movement away from the awareness, the observing, and that is relief.
Yeah.
Mm, that's so powerful and so subtle.
Yeah.
Someone said it this way, I think, or I was reading it somewhere, where when you read a poem, the poem comes to you rather than you trying to make sense of the poem, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when life comes to us, it's a very different, it's a receptivity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with watching the tree or getting into the moment in that way or being present to that. I just had never really, I guess, fully experienced being present to the internal conversation. And just the more I record and listen, I have to give that kind of a commercial in a sense, because as soon as I start to do that, with I've been doing two-handed recordings a lot more frequently, and as soon as I start to do that, the awareness, there's a crack, you know, there's like a little break, and the awareness starts to, it just comes in, and then there's awareness, and it's just relief, immediate relief.
Yes, that we get the internal conversation outside, and
yeah.
I mean, that sounds corny to say it that way, but it is the experience, right, that somehow or the other I register what's going on in the unconscious, which is not in conscious awareness, and by bringing it outside, I can actually be in the awareness aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. It is truly brilliant.
It is.
Motivates us to record all day, right?
Yeah, so that's what's never happening. It's like before it was like, oh gosh, when am I going to record and listen? You know, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, pretty much. And even though there was benefit from it, it of course, but now it's like, kind of this growing desire to do it more,
to live there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Mm. Thank you. Really,
yeah,
that
thank
was
you.
Very, very, very powerful. Thanks.
Thank you, Renee. And Ashwini, I was what was dropping in for me in that conversation was that when we're identified and and someone asks us if the world seems friendly, it's almost always no, like you two laid that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more we practice, the more that friendliness kind of sneaks up on us, the more the attention gets moved to outside of the only thing that is unfriendly, which is the conversation in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really a quality of our lives is determined by the focus of the attention.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Mark in Bellingham.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. I love that last conversation because I think it kind of points to what I've been experiencing in terms of the fact that life is assisting me in identifying egocentric karmic conditioning's lies. And and the one that sort of popped in yesterday was the lie about a feeling that needs to be attached to happiness. So ego was trying to tell me that if you're happy, then you have to have some kind of like ecstatic experience, you know, to where you just kind of go off and want to make rainbows and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what basically I got to was is the fact that you said that presence has many textures when you're with life. And one of the things that happens a lot with me when I feel present is that I feel nothing.
Mm.
I don't have a feeling that goes along with that present moment experience. It's not a feeling. What the experience is the experience of not being with ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a complicated thing to explain, right, Mark? So let's not try to explain it.
Yeah.
But what you're pointing to is such a clue about clue about the whole thing. So first of all, you said life assists you to see, and that's the friendly nature of it, right? That it, when we're
yes.
when we're in relationship to life, we feel completely supported. It's not. It's almost. It's again that friendliness is a quality of relating, which is hard to describe in the present moment when I doesn't exist. But it is an experience of movement between. Of movement that assists us to know we are being assisted, right? There
yes.
is a
yes.
revelation that's happening and a receptivity to that revelation. And that that experience that you had, which is there's a conditioned belief that being present needs to be associated to a particular flavor. And if you're not experiencing
yes.
that flavor, then you're not happy. And so once again, we've left relating to how it is to relating to how it should be and feeling like
that's right.
we're dissatisfied because it's not the way it should be. And so immediately there's a way to know that that, know within quotes, that that is the experience of dissatisfaction, which is a clue to I'm not here.
It is, and when that, and it doesn't always come up as a voice with words.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear this, you know, you're not ecstatic, so you can't be happy, or you must not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's life helping to show or point the way to the lie. And so that's to me what, for me, the miracle is. The miracle mm-hmm. is seeing the lie and for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not having to believe it.
Yes. It's not in terms of voices, as you said, because what you experience
uh-huh.
is a lack, right? That's how
yes.
you're told
uh-huh.
that this feeling is not the happy feeling. It's not coming to you in terms of the voice, but there is an insufficiency that you're in touch with, which is your experience of dissatisfaction. And then to know
okay.
I'm just projecting here, that movement away from that, that is the lie. And so you're brought back here.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. That's, to me, that's the revelation. It's the revelation
mm-hmm.
of the lie. Yeah.
It's the revelation of the lie. Yeah. It's really hard to put into words, right, Mark, because we can't do that without engaging in conditioning in some way.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, which does seem to happen quite frequently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank yeah. you so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
We're having some deeply esoteric conversations
oh, yeah.
here, Chris.
Right off the bat here this morning. So
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah, that does seem like a really helpful warning, Ashwini, as you were putting that out, that in an attempt to describe that experience of any direct experience we might have, that it's going to be hard to avoid getting tangled with conditioning in some way.
Yeah. 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 But good to know that happiness is not a feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that is where conditioning goes with it, isn't it? That every,
mm-hmm.
That's how conditioning tells us we're in the right or the wrong place, is by how it feels. Get us
mm-hmm.
to look to not exactly how we feel, but what every feeling means.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it seems like it has a vast dictionary for every
mm-hmm.
circumstance that
mm-hmm.
If I'm in this circumstance, then I should feel this way. And like you said, if not, then something should be different. Something needs to be fixed, and I'm the one to fix it in an attempt to feel better. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It goes back to Renee's point about we never experience the moment.
Exactly. Yeah, we're too busy
feeling
with, all. Yeah,
feeling.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The other thing I was looking at with that was something along the lines of not only not feeling bad, but transcending trying to feel better.
Yeah.
Just as a way to put that second step in there,
mm-hmm.
kind of going
yeah.
beyond that. All right, let's hear from our next caller. Next caller.
Hello, Ashwini. Hello?
Hello. Who is this?
Hi, this is Tom from Phoenix. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Good. How are you? What are you seeing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I am perplexed about this ego message that I'm getting. And I know it's ego because it's talking at me. But for some reason, it feels really real, and I get identified in it. And it's kind of two parts. It says, you are ego, so you're the one who's making your life a misery. Mm-hmm. And then the second part is, to talk about ego as not you is just crazy talk. Mm-hmm. And I know it's ego because it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel right. And on some level, I just get really identified with it. And it's like, no, that really makes a lot of sense. You know, I am responsible for when I'm not feeling well, or when things are, when everything's a misery.
So what perplexes you, Tom?
The idea that ego's pushing that you're not separate from ego. You know, if there's no separation, if everything is one thing, then how can you say you're separate from ego? How can you say you're separate from the voices that are telling you things that are bad? Mm-hmm. And it's just a total, I recognize on an intellectual level, it's a total bamboozle, but sometimes I just get stuck in that, like, yep. I'm ego. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's who I am.
Mm-hmm. And so, are you able to practice redirecting your attention? If you recognize
all the
I'm in the conversation, does it work to redirect to something else?
Oh yeah. The practice works. I mean, you know, that I got that message long ago. And so I can just get present with the breath, present, and it still will come back. Then its story is, and I'm so grateful I see it as a story, now you're just avoiding those big questions.
Yeah.
You know, you need to go back to those big questions of why you are making your life miserable up this construct. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So, Tom, let me ask you this. This is something we do often, right? Because we could stay in a conversation with conditioning all the time. But if you, let me ask you this. Can you in this moment turn your attention to something you love?
Sure.
Tell me about it.
I have kids, and I'm going to focus on one right now, although I love them all dearly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just light of my life, the best things that have ever happened to me, you know.
And where do you feel that?
It's more like everywhere. It's not a, you know, I mean, it's in my heart. It's in my body. It's, you know, there's a magnetism that goes along with it. Hard to describe. It's just there.
Yes, because it's part of all that is. It's not a separate feeling, right?
No.
And it, in some way, answers the question that conditioning wants you to noodle about.
I'm trying to let that sink in, actually.
Right? Because, you know, Tom, we practice with it in a bunch of ways. The place where the conversation wants to hook you is just simply to have your attention, right? Because as long as you're attending to it, then you're in the figuring out mode around, okay, well, if there's no separation, then how can I be separate from ego? And if you redirect your attention, you're trying to avoid it, right? If we recognize that process as simply a way by where the content is completely not important, but the process is getting your attention, it's not going to resolve anything for you.
Right. Okay.
Right? So you can drop it.
Yeah.
And have your own experience of non-separation from which all kinds of things will be revealed. And it's really easy to have that experience of non-separation, because as soon as you turn to your experience of love, there is no separation. It's everywhere.
Right. Oh, okay. That is so helpful, because I can see from what you've said to me that if I just go down the road of that question, it's just never ending. I mean, there will be another question. There will be another angle. There will be another, and it's all just designed to keep me involved with that kind of useless debate, that meaningless.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So you get to have your life experience in love and non-separation without ever having to answer ego's questions about whether or not you're separate from it. It's a completely pointless discussion.
Yes. Ashwini, thank you so much. That was super helpful. I will listen to this again, and I will definitely record about it today. So, again, thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Thanks, Tom.
All right. Take care. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thank you, Tom. And Ashwini, it's always remarkable, that little simple redirect of the attention, and how it seems that that life answers any kind of questions that conditioning might ask, that life answers with an experience.
Yes, that's a beautiful way of stating that, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is way fun. And so conditioning never acknowledges that as the, in quote, right answer, because it's just not right.
It's not within its realm.
What's that?
It's not within the realm of experience.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
within
right.
the realm of the mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very fun. And such a fun experience to have, to have the world kind of be viewing it in one way that just seems like it's fixed and there's confusion, again, life's unfriendly, and then to have that little shift of attention and all of a sudden all of this other world opens up. It's like, yeah, that's just the perfect thing, as always. All right, so let's hear from our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Chris. Ashwini. Gosh. Well, it's funny. I got in the queue because I had something came up that I thought was relevant, and then discussion has leaped and bounded since then. So.
Who knows, Dan? It might still be relevant.
Well, it's sort of interesting. So what happened was, something reminded me of something that came up earlier this week for me, which was there was an assignment several assignments ago about the Krishnamurti quote about choiceless awareness, and that's a phrase that he uses a lot. And what dropped in at that time was that when there's an awareness, and then if you start making any kind of choices about it at all, or judgments about it, you know, this is good, bad, I want this, I don't want this, whatever, that all those choices are just self-hate, Well, I couldn't get farther than that, because as soon as I started to explain or defend that statement, I got tongue-tied. But it seemed very clear to me that uh-huh. choice process is a self-hating process.
Uh-huh. And so maybe it doesn't need explanation or defense or any of
those
things.
I guess not. Yeah, exactly, right. I mean, I just exactly. There was an ego push to, justify that. But I can't, and yet I know it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that is the point exactly, right? How do we know it's true? There was an insight, but it would take volumes to explain why that is true for you. But that's what you saw. It was revealed.
Yeah, and the volumes wouldn't do it. It would just, as you said earlier today, it would just be an ego process to try and do something that was not to the point. But then when I said the conversation kind of leapt and bounded from there, is that I also realized that we use the word choice in many ways. And so, you know, the process of shifting the attention away from a pointless conversation with ego that we will never win or resolve to an experience of love, presence, you know, whatever's going on, you know, we might use the word choice to say, I chose to do that, and that was a good choice.
Mm.
And that's not at all a self-hating process.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's not, let me see if I'll put this out there and see if this resonates with your experience, right? There's an awareness that choice is an interesting word to describe many things. And so the choice that you saw in awareness trying to explain the movement into the mind in order to describe it as self-hating and justify it was a direction that felt experientially very different from simply the redirection of attention from the conversation back to awareness.
Yep. And what I've noticed is, just like on the last call, there's a gambit that conditioning uses to get my attention, which is to play with semantics. It's like, well, you had this insight about this word, mm-hmm. but this word also applies to this other thing. So what about that? Those are contradictory, blah, 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 blah.
So that's the same conversation we were having with Tom, right?
Precisely.
That the engagement into the process of figuring it out or the assessment is directly contradictory to what Krishnamurti was pointing to, which is choiceless awareness.
I'm simply
observing, right?
Yeah.
And I would project, right, Dan, that for me what sparked when you said that is contradiction is only in the mind, because you can have an experience of choicelessness in awareness and redirecting the attention as a choice, and they're not contradictory.
Right, not at all. And the only thing that allows ego to start talking about contradiction is that we have this ego process of labeling and language that overlaps different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it's not that interesting, actually.
It isn't, because it basically takes us away from from the interesting, right, in order to talk about it, which is dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good to see that we can abandon the movement that takes us away from the choiceless awareness if we choose to.
Yes, precisely.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's good. It's good. And that's, it's just lovely to... it's just lovely to remember and be reminded and come together and surface for one another that movement to, you know, another quote contradiction, right, that's not interesting as a contradiction but is wonderful as an experience, is that happiness is not a feeling.
Yeah.
And yet when I turn my attention to my kids or anybody, you know, my kid or anything else that I love, that feels like something.
Yes, it's marvelous. And I project that if we bring it back to what we're talking about, it's interesting that we're having a conversation about choicelessness when the focus of this month is control.
Yes.
Right? And we start to really see what we're controlled by.
Yeah, it's right. The controlling process is, don't go to the experience. Come talk with me about something else.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. And as we have more and more experiences of choiceless awareness, then then that movement to be controlled by that which wants to talk about it starts to lose momentum, right, or energy, because
yeah,
as we said, it's not as interesting.
Right. Right. Wonderful.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. And Shrini, who would have known that the answer to the illusion of control is choicelessness? It just sounds
so very zen.
And a perfect way to end our show this morning. So our assignment for today, do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance.
Well, let's all go do that, Chris.
Great way to move into the rest of the day. So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too, Ashwini. Thanks, everyone. And go happy.
Go happy.